Gentry Estes, welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing well, real well. I appreciate the nice intro there. Yeah, I spent it's my fourth year over here in Georgia, but covered Alabama for the Mobile Press Register for about 3 years over there, right? The first 3 years of Saban's tenure.
Yeah, well, and it's probably a little bit different than what it is now. It's he still yells and rants and things like that, but it's still he's probably a little bit more comfortable than he was in year number one and year number two.
Yeah, those were transitional days. That first team where it just seemed like, you know, guys were getting in trouble every week, and you know he was kind of getting that program up to where he wanted it to be in so many ways. And then in 08 they get a good bit better, and then 09 win a national title. It was interesting 3 years to cover them.
And here's the disclaimer that he's issuing to a public service announcement to the rest of the SEC. He said he's hitting the reset button. So he's going back to what made this program successful to start with. I'm not really sure how you declare 11-2 season not successful, but he said he's hitting the reset button, and he's going back to the basics, he said. His words, not mine.
I'll tell you, one thing that is a little different, a lot different now with that program from the first few years is just the level of talent there is just ridiculous. I mean, you've got, you know, 1, 2, 3 deep of just guys, 4 or 5-star recruits, and big time talent, and you know I can imagine it's obviously a problem that any program would want to have. It's probably not easy to keep them all happy when they're not all playing.
Gentry, we want to make our transition to the SEC and spend some time here talking about the SEC East. Obviously, the Georgia Bulldogs is a team that you cover. Mark Richt, let me just first off start and ask you: 8-5 last year. Where's the tolerance with Georgia fans right now?
Well. You know, I get that question a lot. Most people ask that, and I think most people understood last season why that things turned the way they did. Just an incredible amount of injuries on the offensive side of the ball. Basically, going into last season, Georgia knew the defense was going to be susceptible because they lost so many guys to the NFL the year before, and they were going to have to replace them with, especially in the secondary, with a lot of inexperienced guys, and kind of on the fly there. So basically the defense did struggle early, and then you had a front-loaded schedule, and the defense did struggle early on, but the offense did so well to kind of cover for them. And then about a month into the season, Georgia starts losing guys at running back and receiver, and you know, Todd Gurley, Malcolm Mitchell, Chris Conley, Michael Bennett, these guys all missed time. These are big players for Georgia's team, and all of a sudden Aaron Murray's out there throwing passes to walk-ons, and the offense is not able to carry the defense at that point. So things kind of got away from them a little bit. And I think most people understand that. What last season did feature is that the team did, despite losing some games, I think they earned everybody's respect by how hard they fought. Even through that, they had a lot going against them. Still were able to beat Florida, still were able to beat Georgia Tech. It was a big game to the fan base. And, you know, really had Auburn on the ropes in that game down in Auburn. Probably should have won that game. And, you know, after a they were down 20 points there in the fourth quarter, and I think that kind of encapsulates the whole season. Georgia really, really fought to get back in that when it would have been easy to lay down. It kind of showed the fight, and then they lost anyway. Just found a way to lose it anyway when things turned against them. It was that kind of season.
Well, you look at Mark Richt, and I've said this, and I don't mind saying it again. I mean, I'm talking, and maybe I let my colors show a little bit too proudly. But Mark Richt is one of my favorite coaches in the SEC. Does that get him a little bit of wiggle room because he is such a good guy and he seems to get along with the fan base? It gives him some breathing room, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said, I mean, this was really more of a topic a few years ago, back when they had gone 6-7 in 2010 and then lost a couple of games to start the next season. You know, there was a lot of talk about him being on the hot seat at that time, and you know, kind of the answer I always had is Georgia fans want Mark Richt to be their coach, but they want Mark Richt to win enough games to be their coach. You know, they're rooting for him as much as anybody. They want to see him do well and be the guy. And sure enough, in 2011, Georgia turned it around, won 10 games in a row, ended up going to the SEC Championship game. And the next year, they go back to the SEC Championship game and they're playing Alabama for a shot in the BCS title game. So I think those 2 years, more than anything, kind of bought him a year where you go 8-5 and a lot of things go against you, and maybe the criticism isn't as high as it would you would normally think, just because there was a little bit more going on with that team than I think is easily explainable. Now, you go 8-5 last year, it does raise the stakes a little this year. I think the expectations are pretty high again. I think most people out here would expect a top 10 team, and if that doesn't happen, then you know these things can turn quick on any coach in the league.
Let's look at the team. What's the strength of this football team as you're trying to evaluate as we're a little bit over 30 days out?
Offensively, still, I think in 2012 and 2013, Georgia has statistically the best offenses in school history. And it's pretty amazing with all the injuries they had last year. They still had put up the most yards per game of any offense Georgia has ever had last season. And that's on an 8-5 team with a bunch of guys getting hurt. So they're doing some good things offensively right now. You hear a lot about replacing Aaron Murray. But they have a fifth-year senior in Hudson Mason who's able to step in and do that, a guy who has been in this system a long time. Teammates trust and respect him. And he may not be Aaron Murray, but I think he'll be a steady hand and a guy who knows what he's doing out on the field to be able to get the ball in the hands of some of these playmakers like Todd Gurley, Keith Marshall, some impressive freshman running backs, and receiver Malcolm Mitchell, you know, four or five guys now with experience that can make plays at that position. So a lot of talent at the skill positions offensively. Defensively, you bring in Jeremy Pruitt, who I know everybody out there is familiar with. And, you know, the guy's won a national title the last 3 years at the places he's been, so it's hard to have a much better pedigree. You know, these guys work cut out for him a little bit with the secondary and some of the issues he inherited on Georgia's defense. But there's still a lot of players back who have experience in a 3-4 defense. I think that was the big key. Obviously, Pruitt was a good hire, but I think the big thing for Georgia is his system isn't that different from what they were doing. Todd Grantham before him ran a 3-4, so what you're talking about here is not a massive overhaul and install of the defense. These guys still have a pretty good understanding of the basics of what they're trying to do, so I think that'll really help in the transition. A lot of guys back in the front seven, and you know, if they get their secondary up to speed, that's kind of the question mark, really. The defense could be a good bit better.
Right now we're talking to Gentry Estes. I'll get that out in a couple of seconds. I got a little tongue twisted, but Gentry Estes, a beat reporter covering the Georgia Bulldogs. As we take a look, and Gentry, I go back to Jeremy Pruitt for a couple of minutes. We watched him coach at the high school level, make the transition to Alabama, then ended up at Florida State, and as you mentioned, won a national title. You look at that defensive side of the football, it's going to get better. It just his defensive mind, the way that he's made those transitions, this team is going to be a solid team. And that's why they got my vote. When I looked at the SEC East, I like Georgia. And if you look at their schedule, if somehow they can get through South Carolina on the road, the rest of the remaining games, especially the ones on the road, are not too tough.
You know, everyone said that last year, though. The schedule was front-loaded. Clemson, South Carolina, LSU all in the first four games, and then everyone kind of said they get through that two or three wins, you know, 2-0 in the conference, they're going to be the team in the East. And, you know, lo and behold, they beat South Carolina and they beat LSU, and then the injuries start happening, the wheels come off, and you lose to Missouri and Vanderbilt. So, you know, it's just that everyone always has. Every summer now for years, people have said, that Georgia-South Carolina game is going to be for the East, and it never is. Georgia won it last year, they didn't win the East, and it was before South Carolina beat them 2 years in a row and didn't win the East. So, you know, we'll see. There's not a lot of people were talking about Missouri last year, and I think the SEC East, certainly more than the West, would be susceptible to one of those teams kind of coming out of nowhere the way Missouri did last year.
Gentry, you look at the first game, obviously a quality opponent in Clemson. They're going to put up some points. It seems like that offense is going to have to click early with a new quarterback. It's a big game, and it gets your attention awful early.
Yeah, and I think that interesting that it's a rematch from last season. Georgia went out there last season and lost a really close, hard-fought, good game. You know, Clemson ended up winning by three late, and there's a great atmosphere out there, and so now Clemson returns the trip. That's kind of an underrated rivalry. They don't play every year, but as you're in Athens, you realize how close those two campuses really are. You know, it's barely an hour from Athens up to Clemson, and I'd compare it a little bit to Tuscaloosa to Starkville. It's that close, and so it's a good rivalry, good game. There's a lot of people around here that enjoy seeing that game back on the schedule.
Yeah, but you know when you mentioned Starkville, there's no place like that in the SEC. So Athens or Clemson, both of those places would be much better. But I understand it's like 60 miles down the road, but nothing really ever brings you to Starkville other than a football game if you're a Tide fan.
Maybe not. I just remember late night basketball trips dodging deer. There's a lot of deer on that highway.
Yes. Well, and there's a lot of Smoky Bears, better known as Highway Patrol. So as we look at the Georgia Bulldogs for just a couple of minutes, and I'm looking at 2014, trying to make a projection. We're not a gambling radio station, but I think they give us a little bit of insight into what they think is going to happen in 2014. They've got Georgia set at 9.5. If you're at that odds maker and you're saying over or under, someone that covers the program, you understand offensively, defensively, what's coming back, the new guys in, the old guys out, are you going over or under on this number?
That's in 12 regular season games.
It's 12 regular season games. It's 9.5.
Oh, I'd go over. I'd say at least 10.